Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. We are all John Jacob Schmidt. We all see what's going on in our country, in our culture, the war that's been waged on our values, and we're standing united together. Thank you all for standing with me. I'm proud to stand with you. Thank you for your prayers and your support this week. This is episode 1917. The last one, 1916, was 2 weeks ago, because last week I had a long-scheduled, pre-scheduled work party last weekend. I was hoping that I would be able to get everything wrapped up so I didn't make an announcement, and I was going to just get in time to do the show, but that wasn't possible. So thank you guys for understanding. I missed you. And I hope that also you enjoyed listening to the re-air of episode 1916, the latest smear campaign on the Patriot community and unfortunate betrayal that was behind that that we talked about. Now, yesterday, I got the opportunity to meet several of you over in Hayden, Idaho, and it was just really an honor. It was very moving to see the level of support. You guys are just an amazing group of people, and I really feel blessed to know you and to be able to call so many of you friends. And so thank you guys, really, for being out there. So I've got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about what's kind of really behind a lot of this stuff that's going on. The Marxism and the satanic influences behind that. We can't ignore that. It's very real. We need to be reminded we are in a spiritual warfare season, spiritual battles that are taking place. And that's really the root of this. Even where communists are pushing revolutions and shooting people with guns, it's still, the root of it is still a spiritual war. So anyway, we had some really good discussions yesterday. So I'm going to get into a lot of that. We've got quite a bit to cover. So, so far, I think the stream seems to be going really well at this location. Got the studio all set up, did some live streaming yesterday. Thank you guys for those of you who tuned in and gave me some feedback there. Much appreciated. But let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by our friend and author, Glenn Tate, of the 299 Days book series. All 10 books are out, including the audiobooks about the collapse or partial collapse of the United States and the rebuilding afterward. Very, very cool. Very cool stuff. And shout out to Shelby Gallagher, too. Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, excellent hosts. It was so much fun to be able to see them, go to their place and visit them in occupied territory. Of course, they're in kind of a micro-free zone within occupied territory. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, you can go to 299days.com to learn more about Glenn's book series. First of all, it's not really news, just a reminder, T-Rex 2019, that's the Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2019. It's a scenario-based, nationwide, grid-down training exercise with emphasis on disaster and civil defense communications. Ask yourself, how would you stay informed in case of a real-world emergency? And of course, in this case, we're developing a scenario that would place us in a fictitious, nationwide grid-down exercise. We know that most of our real-world emergencies are regional. You have hurricanes, wildfires, and so on. But we want everyone to be able to practice. So we create this worst case scenario, nationwide grid down, so everybody in the network can practice their emergency communications at the same time. So we're looking forward to that. Mark your calendars Friday through Sunday, if you haven't already, this July 26th, 27th, and 28th. And be checking amron.com for details leading up to that and exercise instructions and more information about how you can get involved. That will be coming out very soon to start prepping you for that. So, all right. Now, there was a massive rocket barrage this week deep into Israel. The conflict between Israel and Gaza factions entered its second day today after a night that saw the first Israeli fatality. More than 600 rockets have so far been launched at Israel as the Israeli army struck hundreds of Hamas and Islamic jihadist targets on the Strip. 4 Israelis and 23 Palestinians, including 2 pregnant women and an infant, were killed so far since tensions ratcheted up along the border on Friday. 4 Israelis were wounded as rockets fell on the Israeli south on Saturday. We're very interesting here. A Hamas political source, you always have the military arm and the political arm, right, in an insurgency. Well, the Hamas political source told Haaretz that the group decided to take serious steps against Israel due to the fact that the Israeli government has been slow in implementing understandings reached between the two parties. So you're not reaching understandings, so we're going to start indiscriminately firing rockets by the hundreds into your country, into your civilian populous areas as well. Unbelievable. So, and they're saying Israel does not have a right to defend itself. They're just all beside themselves because Israel is defending itself, which it has the right to do. It's a sovereign nation. Anyway, well, there was a failed coup a little closer in our hemisphere here. This week, we were watching this kind of on the edge of our seats to see how this would unfold. But Guaido, the interim president, who backed by, 50 countries now, including the United States, is the legitimate leader of the country. He says he overestimated the military's support in Venezuela. So the Pentagon is still looking at its options. But the sitting obstinate communist socialist president Maduro told soldiers to be ready to defend the country with weapons in hand if one day the North American empire dares to touch this land, this sacred ground, in a speech that he gave to the military there at a base. It comes as opposition leader Juan Guaido is expected to make a fresh bid to woo the armed forces with protests at Venezuela's military bases. So we'll see how that unfolds. You know, we have Russian, Chinese, and Cuban military presence there in Venezuela, evidently backing Maduro, the communist. So potential there for some, it is volatile, but potential for this to really turn into something that we don't want to see. In the Inland Northwest Report, Inland NW Report, great source for news. They also host Redoubt News and several others. Radio Free Redoubt is linked there as well. But they bring us several great stories, but one in particular was a letter that was sent out by the senator in Eastern Washington. He says, new taxes and bigger government are headed your way. And, of course, we saw this coming. Session ends and long-ranging problems can be expected in its wake. He writes, dear friends and neighbors, we've finally wrapped up our legislative session and not a moment too soon. Legislation passed this year that will make it more expensive to live and work in Washington and will challenge our state's ability to remain competitive. There was a bright side. A number of bills on a host of subjects ranging from human trafficking to the rights of the developmentally disabled. But if we were to take a broad general view, it must be acknowledged this was one of the most difficult sessions on record for the people of Washington, which actually just is more impetus for the state of liberty. They have one-party control of the legislature and, of course, the governorship. So Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate and votes to pass anything they wished. they prevailed. It made it very difficult. And also it was noted by several legislators that I talked to that this was the most overtly anti-Christian legislative session that they've seen. That's not the senator talking. That's me talking after talking with several legislators over there. So a little disturbing. Like I said, there is no solution. You're not going to fix Washington. I don't care who you vote for. By the way, that was Senator Mike Patton who put out that letter. You can read the rest of it by linking to, they've got the whole letter that Senator Mike Patton put out. He's from the 4th Legislative District, Spokane Valley. And you can read that at the Inland Northwest Report. But he has a lot more to say. I think it's worth paying attention to, especially for those of you living in Liberty State. What else we got here? Also from the Inland Northwest Report, NBC reporters' remarks illustrate the need for the right to keep and bear arms. Not necessarily news. It's a opinion piece, but I think it really keys in on something that's really worth paying attention to for us, and it kind of ties into something I'm going to mention here in a little while in the next segment. A segment on left-leaning MSNBC provided, perhaps unwittingly, a powerful lesson in why we need to keep the Second Amendment and protect the right to keep and bear arms. Liberal anchor Andrea Mitchell expressed surprise that socialist dictator Nicolas Maduro is still clinging to power. MSNBC reporter Kerry Sanders offered an explanation, saying, "Not only hanging on, but he appears to still control the military. You have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not something that is open to everybody. So if the military have the guns, they have the power." Sanders then added, "So long as Nicolas Maduro controls the military, he controls the country." As brutal communist tyrant Mao Zedong is quoted as having said, "Power comes out of the barrel of a gun." So, advocates of private gun ownership are often ridiculed when they make this very argument. The right to keep and bear arms is critical because it's the last line of defense against a tyrannical government. But in Venezuela, we have a textbook example of why this is true. This was picked up through AP News off of the Drudge Report. President Donald Trump criticized social media companies after Facebook banned a number of so-called extremist figures, declaring that he was monitoring and watching this closely. What we're talking about was really kind of alarming for us. Well, not surprising, and why didn't they do this sooner? Louis Farrakhan, just oozing with hate and racism, he was finally banned. But they also banned Alex Jones by saying, and Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, because they're extremist views. So we have censorship happening. The government can't quite overcome the First Amendment, so they can't ban these what they call extremists, in other words, conservative right-wing voices. So they use private enterprise to do it. This is called fascism. This private industry doing what government can't do lawfully. So Who are the real fascists? We're called the fascists because we're conservative, Christian, traditional, American value, cherishing American citizens. But it's the world we live in. Redoubt News got a couple stories here. We've been following this measles outbreak, forced vaccination, mandated vaccinations for a while. Well, they've got an update here. Early last month, in the week following a judge's decision to overturn the Rockland County executive order barring unvaccinated children from public spaces, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio enacted a similar, more restrictive executive order affecting the Brooklyn neighborhood of Williamsburg, mandating that any person who lives, works, or resides within 4 designated zip codes receives the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine, or face criminal charges, including $1,000 fines and imprisonment. The order was challenged the following week by attorneys Robert Krakow, Patty Finn, and the Children's Health Defense founder Robert F. Kennedy Jr. While the judge upheld the order, a resolution issued by the Board of Health removed the criminal penalty. It's a good start, replacing it with a civil fine of $100. They're going to make it a crime. You see what's coming. They're not going to give up. Also in Redoubt News, not necessarily a news flash story, but definitely something I want to point you to. because this is an article written by Brent Regan, and this is profound. It is right on point. The title of the article is Burn the Witch, The Rise of Guilt by Proximity. And he writes, I'll just share a little bit with you as a teaser, but I want to encourage you to go to Redoubt News and click on the article and read the whole thing for yourself. And share it with your friends, especially your bewildered friends that are trying to make sense of the smear campaigns and maybe even falling for it. You need to rescue them. Friends, don't let friends fall for leftist propaganda, right? There is an alarming practice that the media is engaging in that threatens rights at the very foundation of our republic, the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press. It is the rabidly intolerant practice of guilt by proximity. Guilt by proximity occurs when two parties interact in any way, and all the sins, beliefs, and acts are transferred from one party to the other if it serves a narrative. We see this played out time and again. When someone rented a post office box that was once rented by a known white supremacist, then that person is accused of being a white supremacist. When the lieutenant governor's photograph standing with someone given the OK hand sign or with a Gadsden flag in the background, she's accused of being an extremist. When the president spoke about Charlottesville and condemned totally the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists and said that other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, there were fine people attending, the media claims he called neo-Nazis and white nationalists fine people, when exactly the opposite happened. Curiously, when the governor poses for a picture with a proud socialist, no hysterical claims ensue. Isn't that the truth? Kind of like Sean Vestal with all of his communists, his ties to known communists. And the Spokesman Review continues letting him write his tripe. Fake news photo. CNN, anxious to provide irrefutable photographic proof of the horrors of the so-called measles epidemic, doctored a photograph. Now, I jumped ahead of myself. This is from rhinopack.org, from their Stark Raving Mad page. These guys do an excellent job. It's the Rhino Hunters of the Pacific Northwest. Go to rhinopack.org. That's R-H-I-N-O-P-A-C, rhinopack.org. So if you click on the tab that says Stark Raving Mad, it opens up a page showing you the lunacy of the left and their derangement. Well, so this is where I jumped ahead to. A fake news photo. And they're talking about what just came out last week, April 28th, 2019, out of Atlanta, Georgia. CNN, anxious to provide irrefutable photographic proof of the horrors of the so-called measles epidemic, doctored the photograph of a perfectly healthy infant to appear as if he were a victim of the disease. That's why now CNN gets offended when they're called fake news, but they continue to create fake news. How do these people act so dumbfounded when we call them what they are? A sharp-eyed Waking Times reporter apparently recalled seeing the original photograph in the Dreams Time Corporation's catalog. Dreams Time makes their living selling stock photographs to newspapers, magazines, and illustrators, and they have over 100 million photos in their inventory. Well, the photograph of the perfectly healthy baby was one of them. CNN won't touch the real story with a 10-foot pole. Measles was eradicated in the United States nearly 50 years ago. It's only resurfaced with the enormous influx of illegal aliens who, unlike legal migrants, are untested for infectious disease. Measles is not the only gift of the illegal invaders. Other diseases which had been eradicated, like tuberculosis and many we have never seen before, such as dengue fever, are now becoming common in the border states. Next story, the final story here at segment one, the news, from also from Stark Raving Mad, Kindergartner Perversion. Just a few days ago, out of Houston, Texas, two Houston homosexual drag queens, previously convicted of sex crimes against children, have been actively involved in an LGBTQ, TSB, STD, whatever, it goes on and on, outreach program known as Drag Queen Story Hour. The program is specifically designed to desensitize preteens to the debauchery of the homosexual lifestyle. The program involves homosexual men outlandishly dressed as drag queens reading homosexual-friendly literature to children 5 to 10 years of age at the local public library. The object is to give the very young positive experience with sexual deviancy before the children become prejudiced against perversion. Naturally, predatory perverts are attracted to such a happy hunting ground, and William Travis Dees, the drag queen in question, is no exception. Dees has a long rap sheet of heinous sex crimes committed against children as young as 4 that dates back as far as 2004. It was that same year, in fact, that Dees was convicted and jailed for committing sex crimes against not just one, but 4 different prepubescent children, ranging in the age from 4 to 8. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Alerts USA with your 2-minute summary. At the end of the show, we will be playing the entire 5.5-minute weekly summary from Alerts USA. But here's just a little bit of a taste of what they put out this week, Alerts USA. This is the Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there. Lots more when we come back.
This is an Alerts USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, May 4th, 2019. This week in security news, on 17 occasions this week, Alerts USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. Most important for this update, shortly after our weekly update was issued last Saturday, Alerts USA subscribers were notified of an attack on the Chabad of Poway Synagogue outside San Diego, California. In this incident, 19-year-old John Ernest walked into the synagogue with an AR-15 rifle and 5 10-round magazines and started firing, killing a 60-year-old woman and injuring 3 others, including an 8-year-old girl and the synagogue's rabbi, before fleeing the scene. Police believe his rapid egress was prompted by a jammed weapon or an inability to eject the magazine. As Ernest drove away, an off-duty Border Patrol officer working as a security guard at the synagogue opened fire, striking his car multiple times. Shortly thereafter, Ernest called 911 and reported the shooting. He was arrested approximately 2 miles from the synagogue by a San Diego police officer responding to the incident. Police say Ernest attempted to live stream the shooting on Facebook, but failed. In an anti-Semitic letter posted to an internet forum shortly before the attack, Ernest blamed Jews for the supposed meticulously planned genocide of the European race, as well as a long list of other grievances. The attack occurred 6 months to the day after the Pittsburgh Tree of Life synagogue shooting, which left 11 people dead and 7 injured. This incident was the deadliest attack on the Jewish community in the United States. Listeners are reminded that in just the past 6 weeks, churches, mosques, and a synagogue have been targeted in a series of shootings and bombings spanning 3 countries, along with dozens of church arsons in France and elsewhere in Europe. Regardless of one's faith, houses of worship are increasingly being targeted for attack. Given this trend, it is absolutely essential that security and increased vigilance be exercised. To help this process along, Alerts USA has compiled a list of resources from the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and others specifically focused on increasing security for faith-based communities. That list will be included in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. This has been an Alerts USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, May 4th, 2019.
Back with segment 2 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment 2 is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like you get strategically relocated to strengthen the already conservative Inland Pacific Northwest, what we call affectionately the American Redoubt. It's about loving the values that your country was founded on and want to pull back to a safe haven and refuge, a fallback position to stand firm and reinforce those things that we believe in, right? Well, that's one of the things they do. Well, they help people move all the time, but they happen to be God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. So we appreciate you guys supporting them. Get a hold of SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. If you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho for your location, your final drop destination in the American Redoubt. Okay, yesterday I was over in Hayden, Idaho. Right after the show, I went over there to meet a bunch of Patriots listeners, and I wanted to give them some updates about the latest attacks on the conservatives, and specifically me, but also Representative Matt Shea. But this is going on all over the place. I mean, they're just really doubling down their efforts. And yesterday, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, please go back and listen to yesterday's show on KTW, the radio show. It's only 30 minutes long, but I addressed the latest attacks against Marble, the Marble community. So I talked a little bit about that today or yesterday as well. It's amusing to me to watch communist revolutionaries pretend to be victims over things like this latest string of disinformation that was passed off by a tabloid as journalism. It's almost comical watching the progression of all of our local and regional fake news outlets relay and regurgitate the half-truths and the misinformation like a game of telephone. This is what I've watched unfold. So one article writes, one outlet writes an article, John Jacob Schmidt of Radio Free Redoubt, which is a radio show and podcast promoting the American Redoubt movement, blah, 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 said these things. And then the next piece links back to that article, and it says, the American Redoubt movement has attracted some white nationalists as well. Right, so they throw that in there. And then another outlet, another media outlet, they'll link back to that article, and then they come out and say, John Jacob Schmidt, a white nationalist radio show host, and then, of course, they start anti-Semitic, white nationalist, extremist, blah, 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 blah. And it just gets totally out of control. It's like watching a bunch of children running the newspapers, or like watching Desinformatia agents run the newspapers. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. If you know the truth, you know what this is for what it is. But the sad part for me is those who don't actually know the truth and take garbage like this, maligning good people, Christian conservative patriots who are trying to just shine the light on what's happening in our country and encouraging you to hold true. They hate that. So that's okay. All right, I've got big shoulders. I can take the attacks. But what bothers me is the lack of discernment, even among the conservatives, the patriots, even the Christian conservatives. That's the part that makes me sad. People that will take something from a tabloid and add, put credence to it. There's a new latest, and somebody handed me this piece. Democrats call on GOP to oust Matt Shea after report says he backed surveillance on left-wing protesters. It says that he was involved in a chat. It doesn't show making threats of violence, but there's also no indication he attempted to dissuade those who did make threats. Okay, first of all, false. These guys are regurgitating and adding more to it, like playing telephone. There were no threats. There were no threats. It was just a couple of guys, actually three guys, but it's interesting how the one guy who was also contributing to the conversation, he's not quoted anywhere. And some of the statements he was making was, wow. So he reports this as he grew a conscience, but see, he didn't. He lied. He said this stuff was being planned, and it wasn't being planned. It was, we were just ranting about what Antifa was doing. I covered this already. If you guys get a chance to listen to episode 1916, we were angry. So I explained this, you know, where people had some questions. They were saying that John Jacob Schmidt, you know, called for, you know, violence against these people, and we should go to their houses and their places of business and their daycare locations, targeting their daycare locations. All right, now, but see, the truth of this is that we were mimicking what we were seeing the left do. The left was saying, we need to go to their homes, we need to go to their places of work, we need to go to their daycares, I mean, everywhere, and let them know we know where you live, we know, you know, to intimidate conservatives. So we're saying, how would they like it if we did that to them? They were saying, how about we should go to their homes and their places of business. And then I threw in, oh yeah, and their daycares. Let's not forget about the daycares, right? So what they do, and then of course we all moved on with our lives. A year and a half later, somebody leaks this private conversation calling for violence, which was, we weren't calling for violence. We were just ranting and raving about how would they like it if we did it to them, but with no intentions of doing anything to them or going to anybody's places of work or home, business, daycare, whatever. But see, that's how it got spun. Amazing. So now we got this other hit piece against Marble Fellowship up in Stevens County, Washington, accusing them of having white nationalist ties. Now, this would be laughable if it wasn't so blatantly slanderous and untrue and harmful. But at the very least, it's misleading. And this is what I explained to this group yesterday. There are two pastors up there besides Pastor Barry Bird. Actually, there's three or four pastors, but two of them are black pastors. So the white nationalist thing isn't really working out. And these guys are dedicated to the Christian conservative doctrine that these folks up there in Marble espouse. And if you guys ever get a chance to, Christian patriots, go to God and Country Celebration, usually within a week or two before the 4th of July. It is amazing. It's wholesome. There's nothing about white nationalists, this or that, at all. You would see the truth. You would see that they're just being lied about. This is an antichrist spirit. Two pastors up there. Pastor Doug, I love that man. He's such an amazing, well, actually both of these guys, Pastor Matthew Cummings. I've interviewed both of these guys. You can go back and read. You know, I should find the links to those and link them in the highlights and resources posting for this show. Solid Christian patriots. Now, Pastor Matthew Cummings, he was raised in Chicago under the influence of Bill Ayers, specifically his girlfriend, who was teaching this communist school. And they were handpicked. Matthew Cummings, as a young boy, was recruited to attend this school and under the direct tutelage of these known Marxist communists in Chicago. They're the same ones who were involved with several influential people. So once Matthew Cummings' mom finds out what they're teaching, she yanks him, right? But he was already fully indoctrinated. He knew their doctrine, and that has stuck with him to this day. And in fact, he says that the previous president, who will not be named, is also a disciple of that teaching. And he was going around to black churches preaching against the previous president, who will not be named, telling them, you cannot vote for this man because he is of an antichrist spirit. This is a pastor. Both of these pastors, Doug and Matthew, both go and attend and live at Marble in that community. Also, on another note, the American Redoubt figure, the bard of the American Redoubt, very heavily involved politically, Alex Barron. Many of you guys are aware of his work. If you listen to his podcast or visited his website, he's a very strong proponent of the American Redoubt. He's a friend of mine. He's also black. But see, these guys try to paint us with this white nationalistic broad brush. So some things I want to explain about the Birds. Pastor Barry Bird and his wife, Anne. And the accusations of their ties to white nationalism. What it was in the 80s, because I asked them about this. I need to know, when people bring this up to me, I need to know how to respond. And besides that, I don't need to be associated with somebody who is into the white nationalist identity, neo-Nazi, anything. And so this is what happened. In the 80s, the patriots, the Christian patriots, across the country, we're seeing the direction of our country was headed, that we are losing our identity as a Christian nation. So they said, how do we get that back? How do we work together and strategize how to build something that takes us back to those roots, those Christian, you know, expanding Christendom and our Christian influence in our country and in our politics and our communities, and try to get that back. So they had this big conference. So it was about reclaiming our national identity as Christians, a Christian identity. Well, among this group were some white nationalists, anti Semitic, anti-Israel type of people that were that claim to be Christians. And they're saying this is our Christian identity, that we're, you know, white heritage, the Jews are evil, so on and so forth. And so that's how the label Christian identity became synonymous with the help of the left. Christian identity, how we identify as a nation. We're a Christian nation. That's Christian identity as a nation, right? So they took the white identity, white nationalism type of doctrine, and it became synonymous with Christian identity. Well, prior to this, all of this really coming to fruition, Pastor Barry Bird signed on this petition with all of these other leaders from across the country saying, we stand in unison to go back to our roots. He said there was some stuff about Israel and the Jews and stuff he didn't really align himself with, but 90% of it he agreed with. He said, that's not my thing. They're very pro-Israel, actually. The marble community is. But he signed on this contract, this compact, for them to all work together to return to our Christian identity as a nation. Well, enough of the white identity, white nation, white nationalist identity people were affiliated with that group. They actually backed out and said, guys, there's a lot of this stuff that's really becoming prevalent that doesn't reflect our views. We support Israel. We don't espouse the white nationalist doctrine. You guys are free to, it's free country. You can have whatever views you want, but it doesn't reflect our views. So they backed out. So they took a lot of heat for that. You horrible, you were supposed to stand with us. And like, hey, we stand with you on returning to our core values, but we're just not into the white nationalist thing and the anti-Jew thing we're definitely not into. And so we're just going to have to part ways. Love you guys, but this isn't for us. So 30 years later, some people feel threatened by this Christian community, marble, this church. And so they dig up this article, and there's a picture of them all standing there after signing this compact, with smiles on their faces, and there's Pastor Barry Bird with them. So they've used this to associate, this ties in with that Burn the Witch article that Brent Regan wrote, right? So these guys cannot get away from that, and the anti-Christian zealots won't let it go. So they keep hammering, they keep writing these pieces, these hit pieces, white nationalist, Barry Bird, marble, and it's totally untrue. So I explain this, the backstory, that a lot of people don't know. Actually, there's a lawsuit right now, a slander, I believe it's on slander, for this John Smith and Ozzie Knezovich, the sheriff in Spokane County, who ran this Fighting Hate and Extremism series, which was a total smear job against several Christian patriots in the area, including Marble. So there was a lawsuit. They're trying to act like they're just yawning and they're bored and this is like they don't feel threatened by this, but they should be, because they're going down and I can't wait to see it, because they're lying, sneaky, foul, vile people, their motives, their hearts. Now, I don't really care what leftists, communists, socialists, or any other kind of anti-Americanists call me. What concerns me is the lack of discernment among some conservatives who might believe the misinformation and allow themselves to be deceived. I mean, come on. It's The Guardian. The Guardian was writing this smear piece. They're leftist by their own admission. It's a propaganda tabloid. And then the local and regional news are regurgitating it as news. Really? Do you also get your news from the National Enquirer? I mean, that's the same thing. The Spokesman Review, Coeur d'Alene Press, or the Herald, or any of these others, found some piece of disinformation, half-truth, twisted pieces of information all put together. It's obvious. You don't, because your credibility's on the line, you're not going to rerun something from the National Enquirer, right? You don't run something from The Guardian. There's all, and plus, The Guardian also has some, there's some bad stuff on them about anti-Semitic overtones and anti-Israel overtones they're trying to defend themselves from. So anyway, I just You know, shame on you. Coeur d'Alene Press, Spokesman Review, KXLY, Q6 News, shame on you. This is why the majority of the people don't believe you. This is why you're called fake news and are a laughingstock. This is why ratings are so low. It's about people's faith in the local media, the mainstream media. And you act shocked and offended. Fake news. Oh, who are you to... Why don't you clean up your own act? Start there. Hey, and none of you little weasels contacted me to say, hey, this is what was said. We want to get both sides of the story. Could you give us your take on this? But no, that's just what you needed because of this strong anti-Christian spirit. Anybody who's being effective in holding the line, standing against Marxism, and upholding and advancing traditional Christian American values, that's a threat to you. I believe that. That's what I believe. So Antifa has been threatening to carry out violence and have demonstrated it. And you, slipstream media, call them political opponents. Matt Shea recommended surveillance on his political opponents. Now, two candidates running against each other in an election are political opponents. But calling Antifa political opponents is like calling ISIS or Al-Qaeda political opponents. They're Antifa. They're violent, radical, communist, revolutionary groups with a long-standing history of hurting people. I don't have a long-standing history of hurting people because I don't. I've never hurt anybody except for in defense, self-defense. And the same thing goes for Representative Matt Shea, so far as I know. I know him. I've known him for, what, 5-6 years now. Communists, socialists, including the so-called democratic socialists, are not political opponents. Get that through your heads. They've openly, boastfully called for the violent overthrow of our republic and our constitutionally based laws. They're the sworn enemies of our republic, our American heritage, and our way of life, and the Constitution. The same domestic enemies that we took oaths to defend against. There's an article here. I want to point out to you some revealing things that maybe you didn't know about Antifa, this political opponent, these victims of this calls for violence, which were not calls for violence. There was a private ranting and raving almost going on 2 years ago that nothing came of. Ranting and raving, then we all went on, moved on with our lives. Kept an eye out, a vigilant eye over these people saying they're going to bring violence to our streets, but taking no action. While you look the other way, and Spokesman Review in particular, you failed. You failed the challenge. I challenged you to denounce Antifa for their violent actions, and you haven't done it yet. I haven't seen it. If you have, send me a link, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I'd love to see it. But so far, you continue attacking conservative, Republican, Christian, and calling us extreme, which makes sense because you've made what was mainstream extreme, and what used to be extreme, you've made that mainstream. So it makes sense that we're extremists. So in Washington, D.C., Antifa leader Joseph Jose Alcoff, also known as Shepe, was arrested in Philadelphia on January 10th of this year and charged with multiple felonies, including aggravated assault, ethnic intimidation, and terroristic threats in connection to the Antifa mob attack against two Marines, our service members, my fellow brothers in arms, in November. One of the Marines, Alejandro Godinez, testified in December that he shouted, "I'm Mexican," at the mob of Antifa, which allegedly led the attackers to call him spick and wetback. The DCNF's reporting on Alcoff's fanatical personas, Chepe and Jose Martin, and his connection with violent Antifa groups were integral factors leading to his arrest, according to an affidavit filed in his case. And that's from the Daily Caller. I've got another one. DHS formally calls activities of Antifa domestic terrorist violence. The Department of Homeland Security has formally classified activities of the so-called anti-fascist or Antifa groups as domestic terrorist violence, according to sources and documents obtained by Politico. The news comes on the heels of Antifa violence that erupted against peaceful supporters of Donald Trump and other Antifa accused of, often falsely, being white supremacists or Nazis, the LA Times reported. According to Politico, unreported documents from a 2016 joint intelligence assessment by DHS and the FBI described that by April of 2016, officials claimed that, quote-unquote, anarchist extremists were the root cause of the violence at public demonstrations against many different targets and were assessed for attacking law enforcement and government entities in the name of fighting racism, fascism, social injustice, and the capitalist system. It was in that period, as the Trump campaign emerged, that we really became aware of them, said one senior law enforcement official, tracking domestic extremists in a state that has become a front line in clashes between the groups. These Antifa guys were showing up with weapons, shields, and bike helmets and just beating the snot out of people. They're using Molotov cocktails. They're starting fires. They're throwing bombs and smashing windows. Anti-fascist groups were already classified with domestic terrorism organizations by the New Jersey's Office of Homeland Security. New Jersey DHS describes Antifa as a subset of the anarchist movement and focus on issues involving racism, sexism, and anti-Semitism, as well as other perceived injustices. But see, even that's not true. They're not anti-Semitic. They're always screaming pro-Palestine and down with Israel. They're not fighting on behalf of, combating racism, because when one of these Marines, U.S. Marines, yells, "Hey, I'm Mexican," they start yelling racial slurs at him before beating him. That's Antifa. Their whole platform is a lie. Freedictionary.com defines terrorist group as a political movement that uses terror as a weapon to achieve its goals. It is the calculated use of violence or the threat of violence against civilians in order to attain goals that are political or religious or ideological in nature. This is done through intimidation or coercion or instilling fear. And that's what they are. I have received 100% support from you in the listening audience. Offers for prayer and support and encouragement, saying that you stand behind us without wavering. And I can't tell you how much that means. I'm so thankful for you being awake and seeing the truth for what it is and not falling for lies, not falling for propaganda or the smear campaigns, and standing by us. We've got to stand solid together. Are you kidding me? A known, openly self-avowed leftist who writes articles calling Antifa a small, peaceful protest and calling conservatives extremists. Who are you going to believe? So these are the times that try men's souls. I'm sure there's some friends who will just fall off from the planet and they won't be able to overcome the urge to distance themselves from me or anyone who comes under attack from smear campaigns. That's okay. These are also the times when you find out who your real friends are. And there's too much at stake to have people around me who don't have the stomach to stand by me, to stand by the other patriots that are sticking our neck out there and make a stand for what we all know is right. This is a fight of good versus evil, and they are evil. We'll be right back.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. I am in the unique position of being able to filter through thousands of your emails in response to all the mortifying bills being passed in Olympia right now. I understand the anger in your phone calls and your emails, and I know that most of you are worried about being forced into taking drastic measures in response to these mortifying and unconstitutional bills they are passing. However, this is not the time to take any drastic measures. You're fed up, and we understand. Instead, put all that energy into making Liberty State a reality. What does that mean? That means join the effort that is already looking good. We have 12 legislative reps on board, plus sheriffs and commissioners who are already drawing their lines in the sand against Olympia. This is encouraging progress. Liberty State is now in the beginning of stage two, where we ask all the county group volunteers to start bringing their elected officials on board to join their monthly Liberty State support meetings. We need you. Boy, do we understand your anger, and we're right there with you. But we need and want your anger channeled in the right direction, right alongside us. We need your fed up. We need your sick and tired of all their garbage type of responses. We need all of that to make this happen. So if you're angry, fantastic. Join us. If you're done with Olympia, join us. If you're done with all their illegal regulating and endless garbage while wiping out all our votes on every issue, join us. We need you. Come just as you are. We are Liberty State, and we are taking back our power of the vote. Join us, and let's do this together. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if three-quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
We're back with segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive. I also want to mention that they also offer remote consulting services so that they can assist you anywhere in the United States with planning your property in a way that integrates the key elements of water, food, energy, and security. They have remote consulting services that provide a lower cost option by using a combination of online data and information provided by the landowner, you, to develop professional recommendations and design solutions customized for your specific needs. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right. Now, another thing that I spoke about yesterday, I've spent a significant amount of time during the legislative session over in occupied territory. The occupied territory that we call Western Washington, specifically the Olympia area. I was in the area. I got to meet with several other patriots, patriot leaders, legislators. Spent a little bit of time at the Capitol, other activists. We got to meet some very interesting people that was a blessing. It was a surprise, and it was encouraging. Met people from Venezuela, from the Philippines, from the Ukraine, and from China. Now what I'm talking about are immigrants, not like their grandparents moved here, like my grandparents moved here from Scotland. These folks grew up under communism. They are proud Americans, wonderful, beautiful people who came to the land of the free, but only they're not seeing much. Land of the brave. They're trying to shake Americans awake. They're astounded how apathetic Americans are, not realizing what they have, and especially not realizing what's on their doorstep. What they fled is coming. And they're saying, how can you people not see it? It's all around. So now, fake news, when we do, those of us who do call it out, the watchmen on the wall that are pointing and saying, danger is coming. There is a cloud coming. It is a cloud of thunderous hooves of enemy cavalry that's storming toward our gates. And you try to point that out. Oh, these guys often engage in conspiracy theories, stoking fears about some type of takeover by the boogeyman communist. Well, I think McCarthy, he was right, but he was just too early. I have a friend over there in occupied territory. He's in the fight. He's Filipino. He was born in the Philippines, partially raised in the Philippines, came to the United States. He ended up joining the military. He's a combat veteran of the U.S. Army, a fellow brother in arms. He's an activist promoting veteran support issues, especially with suicide and homelessness issues for patriots, for veterans. He and his wife give so much of themselves, but he's also an activist who strongly supports constitutional issues like the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure laws, the Tenth Amendment, and so on. He's very, very well connected. He knows a lot of people over there. His father in the Philippines was arrested by communists and tortured, interrogated, imprisoned, and kept from his family for nearly 3 years before being released as a bloody broken man, dumped off on the front step of his home when they were done with him. Just dropped him off. He's appalled at the apathy of Americans as he sees the rise of socialism, communism. He's like, I remember as a child going to school and walking past dead people. They were either beaten to death or shot to death by communists. And they started off using the same mantra, the same, hey, this is really good. You know, communism is just, all the other communists and socialist countries that have failed, they just didn't implement it properly. We are going to do it right this time. And it always results in a lot of dead people and a lot of oppression, a lot of boots on people's throats. And if you try to point it out, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're an extremist, you're a weirdo, you're a wacko, that are stoking fears. Well, people who were raised in it, are warning us. They're the only ones that seem to be awake. But he does a lot of work at the Capitol in Olympia. He said, I'm blown away. He said, I'm walking around the Capitol and I'm seeing Democrats, their aides and their assistants and other and Democrat elected officials openly wearing Antifa lapel pins. They're not even making any attempt to hide it any longer. I asked him, you know, the other issue came up about immigration. He says it's an offense. What they had to go through, how long it took for them, the process they had to go through and filling out all the paperwork and all that stuff. They thought they would never make it to the United States. They persevered, they plowed through it. They went through the whole process, the background check, the questioning, the screening, the medical, everything. They were finally approved to come here on a, you know, temporary visa, and then they were able to work on their citizenship and finally become American citizens, proud, patriot American citizens. And just to see our borders being flung wide open, the crime, the diseases, the erosion of our borders and the erosion of our sovereignty, it's just, he says it's a crying shame. There was another guy from Venezuela. He points out the armed communist thugs, just like Antifa, are enforcing the socialist communist Maduro regime. He's saying never give up your arms, no matter what. The people are defenseless against these people because they've been disarmed. They were disarmed long ago. He says, America, never give up your right to stand against tyranny or against criminal gangs, thugs that are being used to implement a socialist regime's policies. He says, you are powerless. You have no options. If you have weapons, you can always choose not to use them and pursue peaceful means until they finally fully have been exhausted. But once peaceful means have been fully exhausted, if you give up your firearms, you've given yourselves no further option. You must submit and get stomped into the dirt. He's from Venezuela. We have people from the Philippines come and say the same thing. Ukraine, the stories of people being arrested by the KGB, living under communism, snatched off the street, missing for days, weeks, or more. Christians specifically being persecuted, their churches being raided. Now, here in Seattle, And these are Ukrainian immigrants who lived under communism, Marxism. And they're pointing out that in Seattle, there's a statue of Lenin. And across America, we're removing crosses and the Ten Commandments. But after the fall of communism in the Ukraine, in the largest city, the square, they tore down a statue of Lenin and put up a cross. Wake up, America. What are you doing? What are you thinking? In China, there's a large group of Chinese over there in Olympia. We got to meet them. There's a whole bunch of them wearing this I-1000 white t-shirts with a red circle and a slash across I-1000. That's the affirmative action bill. And nearly the entire legislative session, they were there waving signs, circling the Capitol, chanting, shouting. Here's the backstory. This was interesting. Who did they go to? These people from Ukraine. Who did they go and visit? They made a beeline to Representative Matt Shea's office. The people from China made a beeline right to Representative Matt Shea's office to plead their case. The guy from Venezuela went straight to Representative Matt Shea's office. The veteran activist from the Philippines who grew up under communism, he spends most of his time, the overwhelming majority of his time at the Capitol, at Representative Matt Shea's office. They walk right past the others because he's standing against Marxism and communism, is standing for these traditional Judeo-Christian values that America was built on. That should tell you something right there. And this group, this is what the leader of the Chinese group said. They're all business people. They come here to the United States. They start businesses. They're hard workers. They achieve success. And this is what the leftists are telling the Chinese, with jabbing their finger in their faces and looking at their success and their BMW and all the hard 16, 19-hour days building their business up. And they're jabbing their finger in these Chinese faces saying, you are the epitome of white privilege. The Chinese come in, they're astounded. They're like, they keep yelling at us, telling us we're white privilege. We are not white. They're confused. They're like, this is insanity, what we're up against. And you have leftist, communist, Marxists trying to push through things like this affirmative action I-1000 bill, which is insane. But there's nothing sane about the left today. They're insane. They're completely off the rails. They're so irrational that they're sitting there screaming and yelling, pointing at successful Chinese immigrants who've built up businesses because they have a nice home now and because they have a BMW or some nice car. They're yelling at them saying, you are white privilege because of this lifestyle that you have. Because they went skiing and they have a BMW. That's where we're at. So, guys, we're in a fight. We are in a fight, and some people get it, and the people who were raised in communism get it. And they're trying to warn us. Don't take my word for it. Take their word for it. Their testimonies speak way louder than mine. I'm not going to ignore them. I'm going to continue the fight despite what the liars, deceivers, propagandists have to say, no matter what they call me, no matter what they call us, no matter what they try to tell us what our true motives are. Just like Nehemiah, they falsely accused him of trying to take over and displace the king. We're going to talk about who's trying to displace whom when we come back. In segment 4, we're going to get to some of the roots of some of this, and we'll wrap it up. Segment 4 coming up here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Do you ever wonder how we got to this point in America, when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
I've been trying to find a smell. It's not a country that I'm in. I wanted to grab your hand, it was holding on to something. The woman stared into my eyes, and there was nothing she could find. I thought that I'd be.
This is segment 4 of Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot in the fight, you got to be in the fight. You are not John Jacob Schmidt if you are not in the fight to preserve our heritage and our Christian values and conservative values, everything that the Constitution was founded on, all the principles behind it. But if you do, well, John Jacob Schmitz, welcome. This segment is brought to you by Works Holsters. For your custom holsters and magazine carriers, Kydex Holsters, made right here in the American Redoubt, is a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And you can check them out at works.com, W-E-R-K-Z, as in Zulu. W-E-R-K-Z. That's Works LLC. Works.com. All right. Now, okay. I don't know if you guys heard about this week, but I picked up a interview of a former CIA officer, and he was a whistleblower, Kevin Shipp. He says the attempted coup on Trump was a global conspiracy, and that's what he calls it, a coup. Now, I also, I like Zero Hedge also, like the stuff that they follow. Tyler Durden does a good job. He also posted this down and broke down, embedded the video in his article over there at Zero Hedge. And he also pulled out key quotes in text so that you can read those. So you can go and check that out, zerohedge.com. But then also if you want, and Kevin Shipp, the former CIA officer, he has a popular website called ForTheLoveOfFreedom.net. I want to encourage you guys to check that out too. We'll put this in the highlights and resources posting. ForTheLoveOfFreedom.net. So this is talking about an article, an interview done by Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter, and he has USAWatchdog.com. So this is how. Let me just kind of set the tone here. This is Kevin Shipp talking about this waste of American tax dollars and time, and the waste of a presidency, the first 2 years of a presidency, by trying to look for this collusion. Well, look, real collusion is actually on the left. I'm surprised they're digging this deep, because when it's really exposed, it's not going to be good for them. But this is what Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer, has to say.
Well, we all know that Donald Trump knows what's going on before he comes out in public and says it. Yes, this is a coup. This is the most shocking violation of the Constitution and criminal activity in the history, not just of America, but of a Western government. Much of this rises to the level of treason. People need to understand how shocking this is. It was a clear conspiracy. There will be some indictments, I think, without question. And when in reality, the collusion was on the other side, the information in this so-called dossier came from Russian intelligence, the information they tried to use against Trump. This was a coup. It was a conspiracy. It was criminal activity, several violations of Title 18 U.S. Code. These people need to be indicted. They need to be charged and they need to be put in prison. And if they're not, then our Constitution is nothing more than a sham, because this was a coup against a duly elected president. People need to understand how serious this is.
Well, excellent. I do understand how serious this is. I know a lot of you do as well. And they're asking, what is the danger to we the people? Well, Kevin Shipp's response is, the danger for we the people is the dark left and the dark left violence. Remember, a little over a year ago, when President Trump said, you know, these elections are in a referendum on your religion. He says this to a bunch of Christian religious leaders. He says they are coming after you. They're coming after your religion and they are going to be violent. Right. So that's what Kevin Shipp essentially affirms that. He says this is the dark left and the dark left violence. As these indictments begin to come out, and as the players are called out, the violence on what I call the dark left, the violence is going to increase to the point where it is going to be very, very bad. There are going to be beatings and probably shootings and shooting at police. There's going to be a lot of violence coming from the left in the next year or two. This is one of the reasons you need to exercise your Second Amendment rights. This is, remember, this is coming from a former CIA officer, an analyst. He said, because of what the left is going to do with these findings and what is going to be the death knell for the Democrat Party and the death knell for taking over our Constitution and culture. They will exponentially bring up their violence, and Americans need to arm themselves and protect themselves against it. And those of us who have been watching this unfold, some of us who have our own analytical skills, former military, and have handled intelligence, and we've studied conflict, internal conflict, civil wars, and revolutions, understand the indicators there that are hurling us toward a higher and higher probability of armed conflict. Not for us to start it. We don't have to start anything. It's coming. Don't start anything. Don't kick anything off. It's coming. You just need to arm yourselves and prepare and train. And they're just aghast at this. Are you saying prepare for? They said prepare for civil war. Yeah, we are saying prepare for civil war. And we're not going to be starting it. So the host, Greg Hunter, asks Shipp if he thinks we're in some sort of a covert civil war right now going on. And this is what Shipp had to say.
I mean, do we really have a covert civil war going on right now?
We have a not-so-covert civil war going on right now that has been brewing for over 60 years. We have, you want to call it the dark left, the DNC is fully involved, and all their congressmen and senators. There is a Marxist movement within the DNC that is in control right now. If you go back and you match up the progressive goals with Marxist documents, you'll see that they are one and the same. They are, and I call it an attack on C3 in this country, because they have to destroy these things if they want to eliminate U.S. sovereignty, which is what they're trying to do. They have to change and eliminate the Constitution. Progressivism states they want the Constitution to be changed to a living document and change the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, first of all. And second of all, they despise and are targeting Christianity, because in their minds, Christianity, as it is, underlines the Constitution and, of course, is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. So that's their second target they have to destroy. And their third target is the founding principles of America. That's our culture. They have to destroy that to bring all this disgusting, perverted behavior and every twisted victim group that is now the DNC. They have to destroy those three things if they're going to overturn our Constitution and turn this into a global Marxist government. And that is not an understatement.
I like that. I hadn't, really keyed in on those. I mean, it's something that you know, we've talked about, but just to really, I guess, doctrinally, really bring it down to a fine point, it's called the C3. They're attacking the Constitution, Christianity, and culture, specifically the American culture, to implement a global Marxist government. So, I mean, is that a bad thing? I mean, you know, as Christians, aren't we supposed to love one another, share, and, you know, justice? Well, they got a different idea about what justice is. And the whole goal of Marxism is to get rid of God. It is to make the state God. I've talked about Marxism a lot, but earlier, remember when I mentioned this is a classic battle of good versus evil. It truly is in that sense, patriots. Marxist Saul Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. And in the very front of it, I know a lot of you guys already know this, I'm saying this for those of you who have not heard this before. In the front of Saul Alinsky's book, which, by the way, Hillary Clinton did a thesis on him and was just an admirer of Saul Alinsky. And this is what's written in the front of his book. It says, lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer. So he essentially dedicates this book to Satan, Rules for Radicals, which has inspired so many. So I want to share a few quotes with you from Karl Marx, the one who dreamed this up and wrote the Communist Manifesto, that a lot of these people in the academia, people in the media, and people in our own government and in our culture are embracing. And look at Karl Marx with adoration. And this is one quote. Not to mention, the theory of communism may be summed up in one sentence: abolish all private property. That's where they're going. Abolish all. That's called theft. The last capitalist we hang shall be the one who sold us the rope. Isn't that just like a communist to think like that? But listen to this. He says, my object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. I'm going to read that again. This is from Karl Marx, the founder of communism, the writer of the Communist Manifesto, and the one who has inspired so many that we are embattled against today, who are writing smear campaigns about us, who stand in the fight and stand in the gap. He says, my object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Now, remember Saul Alinsky, who was inspired by Marx, and he wrote Rules for Radicals? How he dedicated, the front of that book is essentially a dedication to Satan. Well, when Marx says, my object in life is to dethrone God, it really takes us back to Isaiah 14:13, and that's where Satan said, I will ascend to heaven higher than God's stars. I will set up my throne. Isn't that interesting? Now, you guys have heard me talk about a pastor, Richard Wurmbrand, who was 14 years in the gulag, as a prisoner, a Christian who was arrested by the communists in Romania under the Soviet system. He was persecuted for his faith in Jesus Christ. He also wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. He's also the founder of Voice of the Martyrs over at persecution.org, which we support. We support the underground church and the persecuted church here at Radio Free Redoubt. But he wrote a book, Marx and Satan, is what it's called. And he asked the question, was Marx a Satanist? And he supports it with evidence. And of course, having been held and tortured by Marxists, I think we'd have, a pretty good understanding of what that really means. Communism is satanic by nature. There's a great article at the Epoch Times, Communism is Satanic by Nature. I want to just share a little bit of this with you, and I want to link it through so you can go and check it out for yourself. It's by Joshua Philip, theepictimes.com. Communism has caused the deaths of more than 100 million people over the last century through famine, political killings, and genocide. It has created societies where power is held by a small group that enslaves entire nations, where killing fields, gulags, and re-education through labor camps become part of everyday life. But the economic failures, mass killings, and slave nations created by communism are not the biggest crimes of the system. The biggest crime of the communism is its destruction of the human soul. A key goal of communism is to demoralize societies, to destroy the culture, religion, and basic values of any society it touches. Its goal is laid out clearly, the Communist Manifesto, in which Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote in 1848 that communism abolishes all religion and all morality. The most terrifying thing for someone is the destruction of faith, belief, and morality. In the Bible, the book of Matthew states, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We've seen repeatedly that the goal of communism is to destroy the soul of humankind. When a famine swept Russia in 1921, after former Soviet leader Vladimir Lenin ordered seeds to be taken from the farmers, between 5 and 10 million people starved. According to the Black Book of Communism, Lenin's response was that the famine was good for the communist movement since famine would also destroy faith, not only in the Tsar, but in God, too. While communism wears various masks, including attempts to convince people that its intentions are benign, the influence of its roots can always be seen. And while communism pretends to be atheist, many of its founders, including Marx, were not. They held satanic beliefs. The Romanian preacher Richard Wurmbrand, who was imprisoned under communism, documented much of this history in his book, Marx and Satan, which I just talked about earlier. One example is Mikhail Bakunin, one of Marx's partners in the First International, who wrote, "The evil one is the satanic revolt against divine authority, revolt in which we see fecund germ of all emancipations, the revolution. Socialists recognize each other by the words, in the name of the one whom a great wrong has been done." He also stated, "In this revolution, we will have to awaken the devil in the people to stir up the basest passions. Our mission is to destroy, not to edify." Let that sink in. So over at Lee Rockwell, there is actually a pretty good little rundown on some of the thoughts of Marx through some of the poetry that he wrote. I want to share just a little bit of it with you. In one poem, Marx writes of his triumph after he shall have destroyed God's created world. And this is his poem. "Then I will be able to walk triumphantly like a god through the ruins of their kingdom. Every word of mine is fire and action. My breast is equal to that of the creator." And in his poem called Invocation of One in Despair, Marx writes, "I shall build my throne high overhead," just like Satan said. "I shall build my throne high overhead, cold, tremendous shall its summit be, for its bulwark, superstitious dread, for its martial, blackest agony." The Satan theme is most explicitly set forth in Marx's The Fiddler, dedicated to his father. And it reads like this: "See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. And with Satan I have struck my deal. He chalks the signs, beats time for me. I play the death march fast and free." Those were poems written by Karl Marx. The same individual that is adored by these people that are writing for our media, that are teaching in our halls of academia. You guys stay safe out there. Keep the faith. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.